Welcome back to the latest episode of the Rename Beloved Book Club Edition. Today yes. We are continuing in 12 Ordinary Men by John MacArthur. And in this chapter, it's titled James the Less, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot, the Apostle with Three Names. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be getting on the final four group of apostles. These are the most obscure of the apostles. There is the least written about them. But I actually think that that is in many ways an encouragement, because while we love the Peters and the Johns, I think most of us will labor in obscurity. Mm-hmm. I like the small bits that we're able to glean and what we do know about the apostles. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite insight from this chapter, Maggie?
Well, so with this chapter, they do, we're on that last kind of group of four, and there's really not a whole lot. So what MacArthur does is lumps together three of the four, and then, of course, leaves Judas Iscariot on his own, because we do, unfortunately, he's kind of like the infamous apostle that does deceive and, or not deceive, well, yeah, he deceives and also betrays. So we are dealing with James, Simon, and Judas, not Iscariot. But one thing that I'll start with actually Simon the Zealot, because I thought his story was really interesting. When the gospel writers described Simon as a zealot, in his time, it would have been understood that a zealot doesn't mean he's just like really passionate and fervent for his religious beliefs, like it's kind of used in other parts of scripture. Instead, this would have been understood as like an outlaw political party. Mm-hmm. And reading about that really allowed me to understand the significance of Christ bringing someone like Simon the Zealot into his inner circle. Mm-hmm. To think of it in plain terms, he would have been like a political extremist. Yeah. So his party was a party of Jewish people who was very indignant about the Roman rule in the area. They thought that God was the only, you know, entity that could justly, rightly mm-hmm. govern Israel. So their whole kind of MO was to kind of be like go in and assassinate Roman officials. And speaking of the political parties in the time, the historian Josephus describes four different types of parties. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Zealots. So we're pretty familiar with the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Essenes were the ascetic, like celibates, where we get like the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were mm-hmm. living in remote areas, devoting their time to just studying the law. So we don't see as much about them in the Bible. And then we see here, we have at least one example of someone who would be considered a part of this zealot political group. Yeah. And they can be best described as truly political extremist, maybe even terrorist by some standards.
I think we'd call them terrorists today.
We would call them terrorists. They were known for inciting kind of public chaos and terror by doing assassination jobs on Roman officials. So it's just really, I think, humbling to see, to appreciate that when they call Simon a zealot here, they are like associating him with this violent group that was known to die for their beliefs and kill others for their beliefs. They were diehard for sure. And that Christ could extend, you know, with open arms, like a role for Simon. Obviously he would have had to put aside some of his violent tendencies to follow Christ, but right. just to see that transformation of somebody who was willing to kill mm-hmm. to someone who was willing to follow Christ. And we obviously know the gentle spirit and the patience of Christ. And another thing that I thought was interesting is so we did an episode on Matthew and Thomas. If you haven't already, go check that one out. Talking about how Matthew was a tax collector. Mm-hmm. So the tax collectors that worked for Rome and like kind of a proxy of the Roman Empire, they would have been despised. They were despised. And they mm-hmm. would have been despised by someone like Simon the Zealot. So the fact that they could coexist in yes. the group of 12, I think is really amazing. I have to assume that some of their arguments or some of their quarrels might have been over something like that, because yeah. they both, someone like Simon the Zealot would have been, I'm sure, pretty outspoken about his, disillusionment with the fact that Matthew was in the group. And mm-hmm. so it just, Christ calls all kinds of people, I guess, is what I got from that. And it really brings to light the very unique and probably sometimes conflicting personalities yeah. that were a part of that core group of 12.
Absolutely. That is, I think, a really cool thing about the apostles. Actually, this last group of apostles, like especially the first four, Peter, James, John, and
Andrew.
They're very, like, their personality types are slightly different, but they're pretty similar. Mm-hmm. When you get into this last group, there's so much diversity in the different personality groups. And I think that's a reflection of Christ Church. Like, these are the people that would build the foundation of the living, breathing organism that we see. Actually, a little quote from the book is, The gospel records simply do not portray these men as heroes. Their heroism played out after Jesus went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, and empowered them. Mm-hmm. And then it skips down a bit. The legacy of their true greatness is the church, mm-hmm. Scripture deliberately records more about Jesus and his teaching than it does about the lives of these men.
Right.
And that's true for all of them. Even Peter, who we have the most information, that is not the focus of the Gospels, the greatness of the apostles or how cool they were, though I'm sure, you know, we do have a lot of information on some of them. And, they're heralded as saints in some places. Mm-hmm. So they do get, like, praise now, and they will have honor in heaven ultimately, but it's a very diverse group here that church uses to build what ultimately is a very diverse body.
Right.
I thought another cool thing, actually I would say my favorite of this group is actually Judas, not Iscariot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's cool though, how MacArthur is able to extrapolate a little bit about James. James's mother was one of the women that prepared the body of Christ.
Mm.
And she's also seen at the crucifixion with Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Be it that we can assume also that some gospel accounts put John and James's mother, mm-hmm. Arriving at the tomb, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can assume that not only were the apostles close, but their mothers were close, mm-hmm. and had a relationship,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because you imagine, I know people live less in that time, but you imagine they all lost their sons.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool to think about the providence of God even in that way.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way.
Like, that they were all connected and together a little bit, kind of, you know, working through the difficulties of that. And I think it's interesting there, the little insight on James. But I like Judas because his heart, it kind of reminds me of me, because he's kind of got all these, he's the apostle with three names.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all of them mean like little boy or
tendered.
Tender or like soft. And, you know, I've always just been such a soft-hearted person that I really like it. And then his little, he doesn't talk much, but this is the only one of this group that actually has a few lines in the gospel. And so I love it. When Jesus, they're having the final supper and Judas, not Iscariot, says to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?"
Mm-hmm.
Such a telling line,
mm-hmm.
about the heart of this man and why he was chosen.
Right.
As you see, he felt the power of his own transformation and really wanted to share that with others.
Right.
So this is...
And he took that to mean, yeah, like I was impacted by that too, just that he clearly took that to mean that they would be the only ones that Christ would reveal himself to. And clearly he didn't understand, but it was that concern,
yes.
that initial concern, which I think is so beautiful. And he's like, no, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, but Lord, because he recognizes like there's nothing special about them.
Mm-hmm.
Why just us?
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's blessed is blessed are the pure of heart because they will see God.
Mm-hmm.
That's Judas.
Right.
And I think that's nifty.
A.K.A. Thaddeus, a.k.a.
Yeah.
LeBaeus. Yeah. Yeah. Not Judas, the betrayer. We're going to do that an episode on him next. And but for any of you who are just now kind of finding our review of this book, we'd love for you to check out the videos we did on the other apostles. John MacArthur does a really good job of taking what seems like a little bit of information that we get in the Gospels, mm-hmm. and really expounding on that to humanize these folks, to humanize the apostles, and allow us to see that just as Christ used imperfect people then, that's what he's looking to use now, because that's all he has to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that too. It's like God's gonna use you because we're all imperfect, and he's a wonderful creative God. So feel free to tune back in for our episode on Judas. That's coming up next, and we're really looking forward to that. Actually,
I think it's shockingly the most shockingly good chapter of the book.
Right, there's so much to be said there. Mm-hmm. And to give him his due diligence as well. Yeah. You know, because like we could all we'll talk about that next time, but I feel like there's something to be learned about his experience too.
Yeah.
So because what I was going to say as well is like what we see is the transformation of these folks after they encounter Christ.
Yeah.
For example, like I just going back to Simon the Zealot.
Mm.
It's amazing to me to see how some of them started and clearly see like that's who he was in the past versus who he would have became in the presence of Christ and after, you know, being transformed. The fact that he didn't kill Matthew is evidence to me, you know. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in with us, guys. Feel free to check out some of our other videos if you enjoy this content. Please, if you're on YouTube watching, like and subscribe. It really helps us. And if you're listening to one of our podcasts, we'd be really appreciative if you would rate it for us. That helps us kind of get out there more. So share this video with someone who you think it would encourage today. And until next time, beloved, take care.